Well, hello, my brothers and sisters, and thank you for joining in today and going to have Bible study together and getting God's Word and honor Him today. And we're going to finish up what we've done the last, I think, five recordings concerning a question. Is abortion right or wrong? And we've been talking about that. And as far as questions often asked, is the subject that we're in, letter Q, study number 17. And I remember, I didn't remember until after I forgot. But anyway, I forgot to give you the scriptures last week, and you probably thought I was a knucklehead whenever I hung up the phone and didn't give them to you. Well, that happens whenever you mess them with a part-time idiot. But anyway, I'm going to give them to you in just a minute before we get started and try to finish up this this discussion on this question, is abortion right or wrong? Now, we've been through quite a bit having to do with this study already. And we've learned quite a bit. And if we stopped the study right now, I believe we could walk away with peace in our hearts concerning how we ought to feel about what the scriptures say concerning about abortion. Now, it's not a matter of what everybody else thinks and what everybody else's ideas are and what medical science says and all the theories and the hypotheses and all that kind of stuff. It's about what saith the Lord. Now, if God says, the Bible says, who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord hath not said? Anything that a man says or a woman says that God does not validate is void. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord hath not said? You can't outwit the Lord, and you can't outsmart him, and you can't, you can convince a lot of people to turn against him if that's the way you want to be, but that's a whole different story. That's becoming an enemy of God and the enemy of God's words. But if you're seeking truth like what we're doing, and sincerity in our heart, sincerity in our thinking, sincerity in our minds, and even if we don't understand something, we're not going to hold God accountable for that. It's not God that doesn't understand it. It's us that doesn't understand it. So we just either need to do one of two things, either study more or either forget the question and move on. If the Lord, the Bible says that God the Holy Ghost is our teacher, and we need not that any man teach us. Now, he didn't mean that we don't have men teachers. What he means is if it comes between God the Holy Ghost and it comes between mankind and finding out what the things of God is, stick with the Holy Ghost. He'll teach you everything. And he will. And if that's all you had was God the Holy Ghost and the Word of God, you would do fine. But praise God for people that love the Word of God and people that are honest and sincere and are willing to say, I don't know, you know. And that's one of the things that my mentors that teach me, and I have two of them. I've had, I think, four or five pastors since I've known the Lord. And I have two men that the Lord put specifically in my life to teach me the things of God. And but it has been his word that has done everything, and God the Holy Ghost has narrated every bit of it. And that's all you need. That's all you need. Now let's recap a little bit. Let's go into this thing and just recap. But tell you what, got your pencils? Let me go ahead and give you these verses first. Now we left off. You say, come on, Thurman, you get it right now. Okay, we left off on Job chapter 10, verse 8 and 9 on the lesson prior to the last one. Okay, I guess that would be the one before the last one. The scriptures that we started with on this last recording was Genesis chapter 9, verse 4, Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 17, Ruth, chapter 4, verse 13. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 5, verse 11, and verse 20. Genesis chapter 9, verse 4. I guess we put that in there again. That's okay. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 26 through 29. Jeremiah chapter 19, verse 5, Jeremiah chapter 19, verse 5, and chapter 32, verse 35. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 20 and 21. Genesis chapter 38, verse 2. Samuel chapter 11, verse 2 through chapter 12, verse 25. Chapter 11, verse 2 through chapter 12, verse 25. Genesis chapter 35, verse 16 through 20. And just a few more. Genesis chapter 30, verse 1. And Genesis chapter 30, verse 22 and 23. That's where we ended last week, where I failed to give you the scriptures. But you got them now, and all is well. Okay, and we just got really two more scriptures to finish out this question. Is abortion right or wrong? Now, we defined abortion. We talked about aborticide and feticide and miscarriage and spontaneous abortion and stillbirth and suction curettage and therapeutic abortion and vacuum aspiration. All that kind of stuff throws red flags up at me just the way it sounds anyway to me. Anything side, feticide and aborticide, that sounds too much like suicide and homicide, doesn't it? But anyway, we talked about the scriptures. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So whatever you decide that you believe, according to what you and who your final authority is that decides your doctrine in your life, what you believe is right and wrong, what you believe to be and not to be, and you base your belief on it, and that's what you live by in your heart, and what you believe, you're going to answer to the Lord for. And if you're right, you're right. And if you're wrong, you're wrong. And what God says is going to go. But the thing about it is God's been so kind to us that he's given us a copy of his eternal word to let us know the way he feels about things. And we don't have to be wrong. We don't have to be wrong. All we have to do is find out what his word says. And even in some instances, we find in the scriptures that even if a person had made the wrong decision with the right heart and did not intentionally go against God's word, God honored that. The Lord is a fair Lord, isn't he? Any of you people that know the Lord out there and what we're talking about right here, we're talking within the family of God, within the bride of Christ. This study is for anybody that wants to study it, but the Bible says the natural man receiveth not things of the Spirit, for they're foolishness unto him. So anybody that's unsaved that's listening to this, it's a bunch of nonsense to them and a reason to argue. And I'm sure there'll be a few of that, but I'm not going to argue with nobody unless they can tell me, show me in the scriptures where I'm wrong. And then I'm not going to argue with them. I'm going to change what I believe. We believe what the Bible says. Now, when it comes to abortion, right and wrong, we talked about, we went over several different people. The pro-abortionists, they argue that the embryo is just a mass of cells and tissue. We talked about all that in the mother's body, and all they're doing is just cutting that out like they would do a tonsillectomy or something. It's just a piece of tissue. Cut it out. Well, if it's just a piece of tissue and cells and it's in there, then why are you cutting it out to begin with? Why not just leave it there if it's not bothering nothing? Because it might grow. Why are you cutting out a piece of cell and tissues that's not alive anyway and ain't causing no problems? Because that's not what they believe anyway. That's just an excuse. It's a bunch of nonsense. It's not just a mass of cells and tissues, because if it was that, why would you have to take it out? Why spend all that money to take out a mass of cells and tissues? Because if you left it alone, their greatest fear would come upon them. And what would that be? It will grow. We talked about King David and when God took vital interest in him. We talked about when David received his sin nature. Remember that? We talked about Jeremiah in the book of Jeremiah. We talked about him. And we also talked about Elizabeth. And we talked about Mary, the mother, God, the one that bore the Lord Jesus Christ, and how John the Baptist leaped in the womb and had emotion when he was even in the womb, you know. And I thought that was pretty neat. But these so-called mass and cells and tissues, if they weren't interfered with, then what would happen to it? It would grow. It would grow. We also talked about the twins that were squabbling in the womb. Remember that? And talked about Job. We went into many verses in the book of Job. And Job had talked about not wanting to be born, and that the Lord covered him with skin and sinews, and said that he was before, that God knew him before he clothed him in the womb. And we found lots of scripture to where the Lord not only spoke at the physical birth where the child comes forth from the womb, but back it on up through all the trimesters or whatever you call them, the 9 months, back it all the way up to conception. And the Lord even, conception was just part of the time in there. The Lord knew and spoke through many of these questions, these scriptures in the Bible that we've already looked at, spoke prior to conception. That the Lord knew who you were, and that your soul was in the womb before he closed it. That's neat stuff, isn't it? And only God can do that. But we believe our Bibles, and we believe what it teaches us and what it says and the evidence that it gives us. So knowing what we know right now, why would anybody even attempt to fool with anything that's alive in the womb? Unless it was going to kill the mama. Or unless it was and you know, if it came down to a decision like that, where it was going to kill the mama, and the mama and daddy had to make a decision of what to do, that would be one of the hardest decisions in a person's life to have to make, wouldn't it? It wouldn't be trying to get the money together and go down to the doctor and make an appointment for a 45-minute session and then come on home. It would be one of the hardest decisions a person ever made. If you love life, and you believe what the Bible says. Now, Job says that he was in the womb before he was brought forth. Does a person first have to have a ghost in them in order to give it up? Of course they do. So those children, so-called mass and tissue, according to the Bible, have a soul. And the Lord said, I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. He said not to fear a person that can kill the body. He said, but rather fear him which hath power to cast both body and soul into hell. The Bible says that when there is growth in that womb, and there's blood, there's life, and there's a soul there. So the conclusion of Scripture is that a person is a being. Remember, we talked about that? Don't forget that word, because it's going to come up in several other studies, especially the study of life and the letter L when you get around to that. But the Bible talks about being, a spiritual being, a human being, eternal beings, terrestrial beings, celestial beings. Very important word. And I believe that's as close to life as we can get with the word in the Scriptures having to do with life and what the meaning of life is, which is a pretty good study. But the Bible doesn't say this is life. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the Lord said that he's the giver of life, that he makes alive, and he kills. So we understand that. But as far as it's saying life is this, dash, and then defines it, the Scriptures don't do that. It gives us a lot of evidence of different kinds of life and different aspects of life, like eternal life, like human life, like natural life, and things like that. But all through that study having to do with life, the Bible talks about being. Being a being. The conclusion of Scripture is that a person is a being at conception, and that's only in the way that a human being can understand, because a human being can't go prior to the conception. But in God's eyes, in his opinion, a person is a being prior to conception. Look it up. Get in that Bible, Scripture with Scripture. Now, we've been studying this for about three different lessons, and have you seen anything that contradicted that? Absolutely not. We've had nothing but proof and evidence that shows us and has been leading us peaceably and comfortably to a conclusion that it's life and it's alive. We talked about the blood. We talked about blood being made up of water and salts and proteins, and that the red blood cells and the white blood cells and the platelets are the solid part of your blood. And it says that the red blood cells, medical evidence proves that a baby has brain waves and has its own heartbeat and makes its own red blood cells and white blood cells. And the Bible says if it has blood, it's alive, because the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the tissue and the cells is in the blood. Does it have blood? It's alive. And that's just the flesh part of it. There's a soul in there before it's that has been clothed when the flesh starts appearing. You see, isn't the Bible wonderful? Isn't God's Word wonderful? It makes such good sense and just puts you at peace about things, and it explains it. And all you have to do is just believe God. But the problem is, when we get into this abortion issue, it ain't about believing God. It's about, they don't have all these discussions about, well, Corinthians says, well, Deuteronomy says, well, this and that. There, you don't ever hear no scriptural debates when it comes to abortion. Now, I told you before when we started this that I had a pastor, one of my mentors, he believes that, and he went through it a little bit, and he's a lot smarter than I am, but I disagree with that. He said that abortion is not murder. I believe it is, and I believe the Bible teaches that. And you've heard me not say anything concerning except what the Scriptures say. I've told you about what I thought, but I told you I thought that because the Scriptures say that. But nevertheless, it's not an argument between me and him. He's a lot smarter than I am, but I followed what he taught, and I just don't believe that that is correct. So I believe what we're learning right here today, because it's Bible, and there's nothing that has convinced me or leaned me toward believing that there's any kind of excuse that God would approve of other than the one that Rachel went through, and that was birthing her child and dying in his stead. But she didn't have to do that. She was dying while the child was being born. But if he had been 1 month old or had been a fetus or something like that, the women in the Bible didn't think that way. And it hadn't been that many years, probably since around the 1900 when all the Bible corruption started, and all that's about the time when things started to change, was right around in there. I think that's probably about the time that we entered into the Laodicean age. I'm not sure, but if I had to guess something and put it in an area, that would be about it, because that's when everything started getting real nasty and corrupt. And the next question we're going to go into, you're going to find more out about that. But we had some thoughts and comments concerning abortion and having to do with the mothers. Any mother that's worth her weight as a female and a woman and thinking the way that God thinks wouldn't have any problem with or arguments, or even it wouldn't get past the first question. Somebody say, well, you're going to go down and abort it? What? That would be her reaction. Any woman that's worth her weight. It's not even consideration. What are you talking about? But how did these women get into this frame of mind that it is an option? Something had to steer them to where it was an option. Men can't have children. You can't breed with animals and have human beings. It's just man and woman. That's the way it is. Well, where did women get the idea that it was even an option to destroy the children or make an excuse that it might not be a child? Where'd all that come from? It didn't come from the Bible. Or the women in the Bible. It didn't come from there. Why doesn't a woman want to do all she can to save a child? Why would she think any differently than that? Why is the woman pregnant to begin with if she does not want to be a mother? Where does she get the seed? Why did she get the seed? You see, now we're entering into a whole different area. We're not talking about the child anymore. We're talking about the mama and her way of living and her conversation. And the child is the innocent party. He's the fruit. If women have the right to abort the child, how come the man doesn't? Shouldn't he have the right to abort it too? You say that's silly and that's stupid. Yep, both of them are. A man not wanting a child and wanting to abort it, and the woman. What's the difference? You say, well, it's a woman's body. Well, the woman wouldn't have a child in there if she hadn't used her body for something. What kind of mother would want to be put into a position to have to choose over the life of her child, much less be known for fighting for the right to kill it? There's a whole different way of thinking when it comes to this thing of abortion. It ain't got nothing to do with killing a child. It's abortion is wanting to get rid of the responsibility. Do you have that right to do that? I mean, the Lord hates people sacrificing their children to Baal for false things and for having that frame of mind and going up and killing their children on purpose, the ones that are born. What do you think he thinks about somebody wanting to kill their child before it's born just because they don't want to have it and they don't want to have the responsibility? In the above scripture, was it that Rachel said, what was it that Rachel said God took away from her by giving her conception and opening her womb? Remember that? when she was praying and she asked God and she talked to her husband and said, "Give me child lest I die." Does it sound like she said that the Lord took away her what? It took away her shame. It was another word, and I'm trying to think of it. I ain't got it right here. It said it took away her, but it was something that a woman has, took away her, let me see if I can find it here. In Genesis chapter 30, I believe we was reading yesterday, the ones I give to you. It said, "And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her, and opened her womb, and she conceived, and bare a son, and said, God hath taken away my reproach." My reproach. In other words, she was so happy about, she, in her mind, as a woman that's mentioned in the Word of God, and an honorable woman, thought it was a reproach to a woman not to be able to bear children. That's not the way women think nowadays. They think it's their right of whether to keep it or not. And then make an excuse that it's just a mass of cells. What a contradiction. What a bunch of confusion. Let's move on to the very last part of this part. I think we've already... if you still think that having an abortion, other than it costing the life of the mother, or for some reason that would really cause sadness and pain, and the people would be distraught about it because that life is being tampered with, and something's going to die, and it's a bad, 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 hard, hard, hard decision. If you still think that abortion is anything excusable other than that, then there's something wrong with your thinking. Because the Bible has told us, and everything that we've studied so far, that it's inexcusable, and that God doesn't make excuse for it anywhere in the Scripture. And the women in the Scripture that have children, and the way that they thought about everything, was completely contrary to society today. So if you think that you, woman, that you got your rights to do what you want to do, go ahead and do it. It's free world. Free country. Go ahead and do what you want to do. But you're going to answer for it. And you can't stand there and say that the Bible says this and gives you excuse and gives you reason. The Bible says, "Whatsoever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord." Now, the Bible's already proven the Lord's mind concerning whether or not abortion is right or wrong. But before moving on to the next question, let's see one more truth. We'll read 1 Kings chapter 3 and a few verses in there. Let me read it to you. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16 through 27. It says, "Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king, and stood before him." Now, you probably already recognize this is King Solomon. "And stood before him. And the one woman said, 'O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house.'" Two harlots that lived together in a house. "And I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered that this woman was delivered also." So they both delivered a child pretty close to one another. And they both had infants. "And we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it." She rolled over on it and smothered it and killed it. "And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. So they got an argument about it. And then they come to King Solomon to settle the matter. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, The one saith, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the child, divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son, and she said, O my lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. Pretty interesting. Having to do with a child that was newly born, that was already out of the womb. It wasn't an issue of whether or not to have the child or let the child grow in the womb. It was an issue of the child and whose it was. Now, this teaches us some principles concerning before a child being born that shouldn't even be in question or shouldn't even be thought of. That it's wicked to think anything other. But this is two women that's arguing about, and they're harlots, by the way. And they're living in the same house, and one rolls over and kills her baby, and then in the night she swaps it with the other woman's baby. And then they go to arguing, and then they go to court. And then Solomon, in his wisdom, decides that he's going to find out who the real mother is. But how does he decide who the real mother is? By threatening to kill the child, to take the life away. So this shows us two different kinds of principles in women. It's not a question of whether a child grows in the womb and whether it's a child. The Bible's already taught us that. That God knows the person, that the child or the embryo, if it's covered with skin and it has blood, it has a soul. The Bible's already taught us all that. But now what we need to talk about is the difference in opinion and the difference in the heart attitude of two different women. And that's these two women here that are before Solomon. And Solomon, having the most wisdom that God has ever given to a man or will give to a man, tried to figure out how to settle this thing. And the way that he proposed to settle it was to take the life away from the child, which was unheard of, especially if it was in the womb. But as soon as he brought it up, what happened? The truth started coming out. Got a couple questions. After reading the court case before Solomon, before King Solomon, with the two women, here's some questions that we need to ask. Number one, did the two women feel the same way about the children? No, they did not. Question two, was this a case of life or death for the child? Yes, it was. Number three, in deciding the truth in this case, what did the wisdom of King Solomon search for about both women in order to find out who was the true mother? He found out whose heart loved the child, didn't he? He said, divide it. And what did that do? That brought out two different responses in these two different women that were harlots. The real mother said, No, don't kill it. Give it to her. I would rather see her have it and it be alive, then you kill it. And what did the woman say? She said, divide it. Cut it in half. Two whole different attitudes in two whole different women. Didn't have nothing to do with whether it was growing, whether it was alive, and whether it was breathing. It was something to do with the heart. Another question. Can you pick which woman would have been pro-abortion? Of course you can. Which one? Why, the one that said, kill it. Another question. What was it that the true mother had that the other mother did not? She had love for her child. She had love for life. She had respect for God and life. And guess what? She was a harlot. Woman, you got no excuse. This harlot didn't think she... This harlot that was violating God's law and breaking the law and in sin still did not think that she had the right to kill no baby or the right to decide whether a child lives or dies. This was a harlot that had that kind of thinking. And then there was another woman that was a harlot. She said, divide it. Which mother was rewarded for the way she felt about her child's life? Well, of course, the one that thought right. The one that was pro-life. Is there any confusion in any of this at all? Absolutely not. And one other question here. What do you think would have happened to the child if the undeserving mother would have gotten it? Yeah, right? Woe to that child, huh? Could you imagine? That's where we get this today about locking them down in their car seats and rolling the windows down and putting the car in drive and running them off in the river and drowning them. That's the kind of mama that's a harlot that said divide it. That's the same ones that put their kid in their, that cut their kid's throat and put them in trash bag and throw them in the dumpster. That's the kind of things that we're talking about. We ain't talking about whether it's a pack of tissue or this, that, and the other. We're not talking about all that. We're talking about the heart. That's what the abortion issue is all about. I got my rights. Do you see this? And when you get to stand before the Lord, He's not going to stand there and weigh things out about who rolled over on the baby and who done this and who done that. He's going to be looking at the heart. The Bible says man looketh on the outward appearance, but God tries the heart. Now let's wind this up. I think the Bible's already made it pretty clear about this question. If you have any other questions or you've heard anything that I've said that is wrong according to the Scriptures, please contact me and tell me because I'd like to think right about it. But as far as I'm concerned and as far as you ought to be concerned, what we've read in the Scriptures so far have led us to believe that the Bible teaches that abortion is wrong for any reason other than saving life. And as far as whether or not it is life in the womb, out of the question. It's not even a question. God says it's life before the conception. And if we think back as far as we can humanly, with human intellect, as far back as we can go, and that's only to conception, the Bible clearly says that God gives conception. And when you mess with conception, or you mess prior to conception, or even after conception, you're messing with God's work. If it has blood, it's alive. Your medical science has already proven that, so medical science ought to be the ones defending it in court, shouldn't they? So let's wind this up like we said we're going to do. You know, maybe that would be a good thing for a potential abortee and the so-called doctor to have to recite out loud before the slaughter. You say, what is that, Brother TV? Well, what the harlot that wanted to cut the baby in half, what she said. Here's what she said. Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. That's what the doctor and the woman that thinks she has the right to kill that child, that's what they ought to have to recite out loud before they go do it. Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Is abortion right or wrong? If you say you believe God's word, you should know. Right? If you say you believe God's word, you should know whether abortion is right or wrong. Exodus chapter 21, verse 22 through 25, it says, if men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit, did you get that? The Bible says she's with child, and it says that child is referred to as fruit. A woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, in other words, the child dies inside of her, and yet no mischief follow. In other words, it wasn't a horsing around deal. It wasn't something that was planned or something like that. He shall surely be punished, whoever did it, according as the woman's husband will lay upon him. And he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, in other words, there was some hanky-panky going on, or there was some stuff that went on other than just the two men fighting that caused that baby to die, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Does that sound like a God that approves of abortion? Of a baby dying in the womb? No, it does not. Does his word sound like it approves of it? Especially for women that have their rights. Does that sound like God cares about your rights, woman, when it comes to a life in your womb? Every man should give account of himself to God. And that's what's going to wind up our study on this question, having to do with, is abortion right or wrong? Okay? Thank you so much for studying with us. And I like I said, you can get this cleared up, get anything cleared up with the Lord that you want to. God the Holy Ghost should have shown you in His Word the way that He feels about these things. And whether you be man or woman, if you've had anything to do with anything having to do with an abortion or something like that, you can get it cleared up with the Lord. The Lord's not willing that the Lord is merciful, and the Bible says that He stands ready to forgive. If you'll go to Him and you'll tell Him the truth and confess your sin to Him, not in front of everybody else, but between you and Him, and confess that thing, the Lord says that He'll forgive it, and He will cleanse away the guilt, and He will wipe it away and remember it no more, and that you won't have that weight on you anymore, and you will be able to go on in your life and forget it and go on. Isn't that a wonderful Lord? He's wonderful. And praise God for His forgiveness and for His mercy on all of us. All of us have to brag about God's mercy and what He's done for us and how kind He's been to us. We'll be just specifically talking about abortion this time. We're fixing to get into some other things. The next subject and question that we're going to get on in our study of questions often asked is going to be, what about sexes, sexual love, and sexual perversion? This is going to be quite a study, and it's going to go a little while, because we're going to cover some things. We're not just going to cover one little thing. We're going to back up, and we're going to take this thing and go from the beginning and see where it ends up like in the 21st century like it is outside when you drive around and see what about sex's sexual love and sexual perversion. We're going to talk about that. We're going to ask that question. What about sex's sexual love and sexual perversion? And we'll go into that and honor the Lord and see what His Word says about it. Amen? Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us and having a Bible study with me today and talking about God's Word. And the Lord bless you and for believing the truth. And that's what we should do. We can be at peace. Those that love the Lord hate evil. And that's what we do. We have a wonderful God, and we should be proud that we are afforded the opportunity to be in the family of God. It's Brother Thurman, and we're going to get back into our study of questions often asked on the next recording. This has been Is Abortion Right or Wrong? Thank you, Lord, for answering our question. In Jesus' name. Bye-bye.